You have condensed it according to your material. We have it in its pure state. You have it in its condensed state. Thank you. Dear Joseph, can you tell us approximately how long Wenzel has been in the spiritual world according to our calendar? Joseph, yes, wait a minute. According to your calendar it might be 500 years. And the purification probably took up a large part of it. Joseph, yes, but the greatest purification wasn't that long. Then comes the time that you spend in the workshops and with further education and also in bliss. You don't have to imagine that life is just hard. Actually, it is like this: the longer one is in the spiritual world and submits or conforms, the better off the individual is. So here we have the case that reincarnation has not yet taken place. Joseph, yes, it will come. You know that this varies from one case to another. Those who are chosen for reincarnation are primarily those who do not progress in the spiritual world, who do not accept anything and so on, who therefore hinder their forward development. The spirits of God recognize the nature of the individual. Some are of good will, and this counts for a lot, while malice is punished severely, as is self-will, if one leaves one's work. Now, for example, this Wenzel. He could not leave, he was bound to his work, so to speak. But his nature was already known. I would say he had a certain good nature about him. He had lived a frivolous life, but he was not malicious, he was good-natured. And so it was expected that after a thorough training in the spiritual world he would be raised accordingly. On the other hand, with someone who is very domineering and egotistical, you see that you don't achieve as much or that it takes much longer, and so you deal with him quite differently. Some people are let go, so to speak, they are left to do what they want, for long, many years, until they are caught up in the order. Others are simply assigned to work, they have to do the work and are closely monitored to ensure that they do what they are told. Others can run away from work, and you don't run after them, you let them, but the moment comes when they are caught and then they have to pay for their frivolity. Everyone is caught, some sooner, some later. The spiritual world sees best what is beneficial for whom, whether we should let someone go or whether we can achieve more with them if we say, you don't leave the place, and I will make the ditch longer and longer for you if you don't do your work. Then you know, yes, now it's over, he'll think it over, and then he'll decide to work. He doesn't want to dig such a long ditch, so he'll obey. In this way he is formed and purified, he adapts. And it's for his own benefit. But you have to realize that you have to be obedient, that the others who assign you the work mean well and only want the best. Because many people don't want to realize this, they don't want to obey God's angels because they aren't used to obeying, because they already did what they wanted in human life, and because, I would say, the splendor of heaven is too far away for them. There are so many different considerations that can come from the individual. He can say, I will never succeed in reaching the glory, why should I make an effort? Another, although he is backward, will do everything in his power to get ahead. One person is enormously different from another, and that is why there is this wonderful personal guidance from one to the other. Would this Wenzel not have had the opportunity to go to the earthly kingdom from his spiritual level, where he was in a certain sense spellbound? Joseph, number. Dear spirit friend Joseph, I have a question regarding the two majestic and stern spirits. It is always a little strange for people to hear that such very stern beings are in heaven, because one always imagines that they should approach people with divine grace and divine love. Could you say a few words about that? Joseph, yes, you know. The angels of God are arranged in different choirs. There are, let's say, very delicate, small beings in terms of their shape. Their task is, so to speak, only to dance. But there are also, if I now make a big mistake, want to make a difference, these guardian angels, who are powerful and strong. They are large in stature and have a completely different nature. This does not mean that they are not connected with the others in love, because each of these angels does his duty. In the angelic world there is a diversity of nature, just like with you humans. You also meet very strict and just people, And that does not mean that they are unloving. They can be just as full of love, but they have a very special sense of justice, and this is somehow expressed in their faces. This is also the case in the angelic world. It was the task of these two angels to, let's say, lead spirits from here to there. The same angels can of course also be seen in their world as quite pleasant and loving when they are among their own. But they will carry out their duties as they must, as the law expects of them. There are different levels of angels. There are special missionary spirits who are very kind and always accommodating in their own way, that is in their nature, and there must be such people. They meet the individual halfway. It is just like with you humans. There must also be someone who ensures that order is maintained. The law that rules over you is right for conscientious people, for those for whom it is enough that there is a law. But there are people who break the law. Then they cannot be touched with kind hands, but are dealt with harshly and put where they belong. In all things you can always find a parallel between you and the beyond. But the order that you have is not perfect, I would even say it is superficial. But the order that we have is perfect and it is very, very precise. Thank you, dear friend Joseph. Do these two strict guards belong to Michael's legions? Joseph. They come from the choirs I mentioned, and they carry out their duties as they must. This strictness is in their nature, but they still have justice and love. But when it comes to representing grace and mercy or simply caring, then other beings are there. You have to imagine, heaven would be terribly monotonous and lonely if everything had the same meaning and pattern. I would almost say that God's laws could not be fulfilled in this way. There are different stages, and you experience them. And in this way you win and then fulfill the law. Because the two strict ones have instilled a certain respect in this returning spirit. If he had not done his work and had given himself up to idleness, so that this kind brother had seen, it is useless, and if I make the trench 100 times longer for him, he will never reach his goal, then these two would have come and taken him away. Then he would have been given another job that he could not have avoided. But before these two appeared, the kind brother would have warned him and said, I will show you in kindness and love what you have to do. If you do not do it, I will take you to them. They will come and take you away and they will take you to a harder job. Then you will have to deal with them. This warning alone has saved many a soul, because people do not want to fall into their hands, because they inspire such respect that they are afraid of them, as Wenzel did. But with him it was not necessary to threaten with these two. The kind man saw clearly that he only had to say to him, look, your ditch is getting longer and longer if you don't work, that alone was enough. Thank you, dear friend Joseph, but now, dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to withdraw. May God's blessing be upon you. You shall recover in body and soul. Greetings from God. Report of the ascending spirit being Wenzel and answers to questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Münchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Original, tape recording. July 5, 1961, Daniel, once lord of the castle, then shepherd to compensate. On the difference between earthly and spiritual wealth. Greetings from the controlling spirit. Daniel, greetings from God. Dear brothers and sisters, I have been asked to speak of my memories. I have been informed that here in this room, from time to time, an ascending spirit is supposed to tell of his previous experiences, something from his life and his purification, perhaps of his future plans. Today, when I can speak to you, quite a bit of time has passed since my last life on earth. Of course, I have come to different insights and views since then. I have also found my balance again. My last life served to give me this balance again. I have been asked to emphasize in particular what is important to you, dear friends. Before we are allowed to approach you, we have to tell our spiritual leaders what we have to tell you. So you should not think that we are allowed to simply tell things. Our spiritual leaders stand next to us and they hold up their hands if we say anything that is not appropriate or use abusive language or anything like that. None of that can happen in this hour. In addition, You should be told that this would no longer be possible, because we are at such a spiritual level where we have the exact knowledge and know what is sensible and good for people, what we should say to them, what is necessary, what we must say to them. Now I would like to tell you about my last life and then explain to you why I had to live such a life. I was a shepherd. Mother Earth was my home, she was my sleeping place, my best friend. I was barely 50 years old when I was allowed to leave this world. When I came over, I was told that I had died of pneumonia. Now something about my life, my father and my grandfather were all shepherds, and I was to become one too. I had no other option, I couldn't go to school. I could write my name, I had been taught that. My name is Daniel, or I can say that my name was Daniel. That was, so to speak, the only word I was able to write. So I couldn't read anything else. I had no knowledge of that because I hadn't gone to school. It wasn't possible. I had a large flock of sheep to tend. In the course of my life I had various faithful friends, they were my dogs. I had another friend, that was the flute. How else could one pass the time if not with a little flute playing? At night I slept on the floor, covered with a large coat, if you can call it a coat, it was just a cloak made of various fabrics or sacks. One of my dogs, whom I still remember, was particularly devoted to me. They were all loyal to me, but this one always crept under my coat when I slept near my flock at night. But he was not inattentive, he heard the slightest noise. I sometimes woke up because he sometimes crept out at night and looked to see what was going on. So I was always woken up by my loyal friends when there was a storm, when something was wrong. It should also be noted that I had a kind of house like that too. But I rarely lived in it, it was just a dilapidated hut. You put your belongings there, maybe a pair of worn-out shoes, maybe a sack of provisions or something like that. You rarely visited that hut. I was not the only shepherd. There were others like that in the wider area. We answered each other by playing our flutes. And we couldn't stay in one and the same place all the time or all year round. We went on long, long walks. The animals belonged to a rich castle owner. So I always spent my life in nature, always among the animals. I had no demands on life. I also met the foreman, who visited us from time to time because they wanted to know the exact number of animals and to get news from us and also provided us with food. Yes, that was probably the only way to have a conversation. They also asked about the people, how people lived in the towns and villages or in a castle. So now and then they told us about the beautiful castles in the area and about the people who had it more comfortable than us, who lived in a house, who could sleep in a quiet place at night, who had their own beds and so on. But I didn't really long to live in a house. No storm could harm me. I loved the earth, it was my home. I couldn't remember ever having slept in a bed. Either, not as a child, because my father was a shepherd, he was poor, just as poor as I was. Nobody knew anything else, they were happy with it. But one day, when I was sleeping on the ground, soaked, I caught such a cold that I had to say goodbye to this world. When I arrived in the spiritual realm, it seemed strange to me. There were hordes of beings there, I didn't know them, with the exception of my father, my mother, my grandfather, my grandmother. They came, introduced themselves, hugged me, were happy. Yes, they always said, Daniel, now you've come back. And so they were very happy that I was now in the other world. At first I couldn't find my way, because I hadn't known that life continued. I believed in God, but my belief in God was actually everything. I had prayed here and there. But I had never experienced such a close and special connection with God. You were cut off from people, you didn't have to deal with them, you weren't bothered or annoyed by them. You were left to yourself and were content with yourself and with the animals, with the dogs, and you were happy to be able to hear a flute nearby and play it yourself. Now they stood around me and said to me, "Yes, life is now over and balance has been achieved." I didn't know what to do with these words, I was dazed. I just found that the surroundings were much nicer than where I had lived. They said to me, "You don't need to sleep on the wet ground anymore, you'll have a nicer life now." Actually, I didn't even have the desire to have a nicer life. I had been completely satisfied with life, what it brought and gave me. Now I should have it better. Why should I have it better? Yes, I was now in the soul world, where God ruled with all his angels. Now I had to obey the angels. But they would leave me in great, great freedom for a long time. Yes, I liked this word freedom, because one thing was certain for me, you will not stay in this new world. Even if it seemed more pleasant to me, I did not like it, everything was foreign to me. I did not want all these beings who were busily running around me, I wanted to be alone, I did not want it to be so nice. Since I had been told that I had freedom, I immediately found out that I also had the opportunity to return to Earth, to my old home. So I returned and walked across these large, large fields and looked for the flocks of sheep. Even though I immediately realized that they neither saw nor felt me and that I actually had nothing more to do in this old world, it captivated me. Yes, I found it 1,000 times more beautiful than before, because I no longer found the ground wet and cold. I was no longer cold, no heat tormented me, nothing like that. I found it pleasantly cool, a pleasant atmosphere. And so I wandered and never got tired. I had no shoes, even in human times I wore none or only rarely. And now it was as if I had been given a new body. Everything was so light, it was easy to breathe, no discomfort of any kind. And so I wandered through the earth from field to field, from country to country. I admired everything and found it beautiful. I sat down wherever I liked. But I avoided the company of other beings, I wanted to be alone. Some people came to me and asked me to come with them, I did not obey them. I did not know how long I did this, I think it was decades. I wandered like this until one day the small group that once greeted me came to me and they said to me, "Daniel, don't you want to come in amidst? What are you looking for here on Earth? What does this Earth still offer you with its people and everything that lives on it? Come with us, you have new tasks to perform. You must now say goodbye to this world, really goodbye, for God had already commanded you to do it at the time when you were drawn from your earthly body, then the time had already come to say goodbye. But you returned again, now it should be enough." I asked whether it was really necessary to say goodbye. I found life so beautiful, so pleasant, so trouble-free. And they answered me that in the other world, which is the real world, it is much more pleasant. They asked me to come with them and immediately led me away from the earth, back to my new world, where I was now to stay. Then I asked, "Can I also wander here? Do I also have animals here that I can look after?" And they said, "You can also wander if you want. We also have animals of all kinds. But you should now consider your last task as finished and strive for higher things. It was you that was a shepherd, and now you must set out for a new life, you must fulfill new tasks, because you are not to remain a shepherd forever." I listened to these words, but they did not impress me particularly, because I liked this task. I had no responsibility and I could live as I pleased. But that was no longer the case. They wanted to give me responsibility and I should start working. The guardians around me were very considerate, indeed. They were very loving to me and said, "Daniel, we have to confess something to you. Once we have given you this explanation, you will be more willing to fulfill your new tasks and you will adapt better to the new life." Well, I wanted to listen. And then they told me about my previous life, not about life as a shepherd, there was nothing special about that, it was a life of modesty and poverty. They told me about the other life, the life before last, which had been the opposite of poverty. They wanted to show me that life clearly, and strangely enough I could see myself, how I had lived, where I had lived, how I had worked. I saw myself in a beautiful castle, I saw the great wealth around me, and I saw myself living in pleasure. I saw the urge I had to have more and more, to have even greater possessions, to be able to call even more my own. And it was not always done honestly. It was done by force. I also saw that I had been a believer and had done a good deed now and then. But no one seemed to pay much attention to this good deed and this faith, but rather held the other life before my eyes, the pleasurable life, the urge for more. I then saw how I had to leave the world and leave everything behind. I saw myself in the last days of that life in this great passion, only in the urge for possessions and not to give them away, to keep them. And so they had created a balance for me. I was amazed, because I could hardly believe it. The shepherd Daniel was once a lord of the castle. Unbelievable, I said. And yet all the earthly wealth meant nothing to me now, nothing at all. I had no inclination for any kind of splendor, any kind of wealth. I loved nature, I loved animals, but I did not even have the desire to sleep in a house, let alone to consider it my own. Now they said to me, "We have chosen this wonderful path for you. So you have weaned yourself off this passion for more, for possessions, for pleasure and wealth. You grew up in poverty, you lived in poverty and died in poverty, and your soul should now be permeated by that. Everything else that used to be a passion in you is said to have dissolved." Yes, I had to say, at the time when this was shown to me, it was unbelievable to me that I could once have had such a desire for earthly possessions. Now I wanted to know, "And now, what is happening to me?" They answered me, "You have not only been a shepherd and lord of the castle, you have been on earth so many times. The person who wanders on earth must prove himself from life to life. If he does not pass his test, then he can be put in a place to find balance as punishment or for the salvation of his soul. From wealth, from great wealth, I came to poverty, and then I knew nothing other than this poverty. So I saw how wisely the spiritual world of God and the Creator work on the individual. That was my case. Examples of other kinds were also explained to me, and I was told that I could have been punished in a different way. But God was so kind, He would give both the one and the other the opportunity to change. Once they had passed this test, they would then move on again. And so they said to me that they would assume and hope that I had passed the test and that this balance had now been achieved, because my soul no longer thirsted for this wealth, unless a great temptation came to me and caused me to fall again, that would still be a big question mark. For me personally, everything was in order, because I did not believe that I could lose myself in wealth again. I did not value it, it meant nothing to me. These guardians, these companions, saw that and they said to me, "It is different here. Here you will also find wealth and you will also find poverty, but it is not the poverty of people on earth, and it is not their wealth. Here all good is imperishable, and here you must try to acquire such wealth." So they said to me, "Look at yourself, how you look. You are wearing a simple outfit. You must make sure that you look better. You cannot buy clothes here with money or with anything, any objects or by bartering. Here you have to acquire them in a different way. If you achieve great things, you get something that improves your appearance. You also buy, but you don't buy with money and you don't barter with objects. You barter with inner values, with the feelings you have. You barter by fulfilling the high laws. These are purchase values." So I was taught and they said to me, "We have so many erring brothers and sisters. There are so many who are still chasing after the wealth and possessions they had on earth. They can't let go of them, they still cling to them long after they have died." And then they explained to me, "You now have the best opportunity to teach these erring brothers and sisters something. You must seek contact with others, because you have avoided them." Yes, it was difficult for me. I had to become free, but I couldn't become free and talk to others so easily. We hadn't spoken much to each other on earth, it wasn't in my nature. And now my nature was to be changed. I was to start speaking to the others and having a conversation with them. They promised to support me. So they accompanied me in the world beyond at first, because there were so many of them there, they seemed very unhappy to me. My companion said to me the sentence that I had to say to this or that brother or sister. They were precisely described to me, and I had to go to them and say to them what they had told me. So I had to try to become free, to approach the others. You shouldn't believe that you are so free in spirit and that you can do it. No, you do exactly what you did on earth in your human body. Either you are silent and quiet or you talk a lot, you disappoint others, you lie to others, you pretend to others something that isn't true, you're still the same. So I had to learn it. All the lessons I had initially consisted of these humble things. I was supposed to learn how to approach my neighbor and how, with kindness and goodwill. It took a long time before I became so free that I could talk to everyone. Then this was seen as progress for me and I was taught more. I had to learn to read. I had to learn to write. I was taught languages. Yes, I was taught the plan of salvation and order, the laws of God. Because when you come to a new country, the first thing that happens is that the laws that are authoritative in that country are made clear to you. First of all, it is made clear to you which order you have to follow, which are the basic rules. I learned by playing. I was amazed at how quickly I could read and write. You will think, in the spiritual world, you don't need to write. But you do have to write. You write as well as you speak. You draw, you do arithmetic, you calculate, and you learn languages if you have the ability or the interest to do so. You should also be able to converse with many people in the spiritual world, because after all, you don't just speak one language there. You have many languages - until you reach that highest point where you can hear this uniform, universally understandable language. So I saw, what I had missed in human life had to be made up for now. But they explained to me that I had been able to read, write and calculate and all sorts of things before. And so it was easy for me. It was in my innermost being, I just had to rediscover it, to bring it out again, so to speak. What I had once learned and known, I could grasp again in a short time. That is how I was trained and taught. At the beginning my path led to these unfortunates. I had to make them aware of the absurdity of their actions. So I had to learn to speak in the true sense of the word, to speak meaningfully, correctly. I had to show them the way to a better or higher school. And I was allowed to say to everyone, I was a shepherd, and I had the opportunity to show them how I had lived. Then, later of course, when I eagerly followed everything that I had been told or taught, I also began to look better. And then they believed me more. Then they said to me, if you really were a shepherd and look like that today, there must be something to the whole thing. And so one after the other became ready to ask that someone should take more care of them. And that means, one now adapts to the new order, one no longer follows the old path and no longer visits this house in which you lived, or these people to whom you feel attached, or you no longer observe something specific. You give up this or that passion because you have recognized the absurdity of it. You can rarely discover for yourself what is right and what is wrong on your own at these lower stages of development. You always need a teacher for that, because you are like a child who needs to be taught. You feel like a child in an environment that is unfamiliar to you and you don't know how you should behave and what you can allow yourself to do. These teachers are lenient and considerate. And so they guide the individual and explain to him his path, how he should do it. In this way you win over one after the other when he has matured, when he has become willing. Sometimes high spirits from heaven cannot do anything for a person who has returned home. An ascending spirit, as in my case, can often achieve more. He has won the trust of the other brothers and sisters who are lower or, so to speak, equally developed, more quickly. When a higher spirit comes, they are unable to obey him out of sheer awe, shyness or inhibitions, because they see the goal as so infinitely far away, they consider it impossible to reach it. The higher spirits do not win their trust, so the others are simply pushed forward. It is the higher spiritual world that simply pushes the others forward and sends them to the unfortunate and erring ones and says, go there and try to win their trust. And like attracts like, they find each other in conversation, they stay together, and if one can make something clear to the other with a certain power of persuasion, he may win them over and lead them out of their life of trouble and distress. And so it goes. And so I did it on behalf of those of my leaders who gave me this education and these teachings and sent me to those others and said to me, you can show them who you were. You come to them as a shepherd and you must win their trust and raise them up. So I did it, because I was thoroughly instructed.